In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The text for this morning's sermon is the Gospel appointed for this 23rd Sunday after Trinity, the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter, beginning at verse 15. Then the Pharisees went and plotted how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent to him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God in truth, nor do you care about anyone, for you do not regard the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, "Why do you test me, you hypocrites? Show me the tax money." So they brought him a denarius. And he said to them, "Whose image and inscription is this?" They said to him, "Caesar's." And he said to them, "Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." Thus far the Gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our Lord is asked a question by some Pharisees. Curiously, they have some Herodians with them. Herod is the usurper pseudo-king of Judea. The Pharisees do not consider Herod legitimate. The true king of Israel, for them, has to meet two requirements. He has to be of the house, the actual house and lineage of David, which Herod is not. And the second requirement is he has to not be this Jesus guy. The Herodians, on the other hand, as you might guess from their name, they are full blast supporters of this King Herod. So it's odd that they come to see Jesus together, because these two groups are completely opposed to each other. Well, except on this not Jesus thing. They agree about that. The Pharisees offer quite a preface to their question. "Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God in truth, nor do you care about anyone, for you do not regard the person of men." These words are, coming from the Pharisees, a blatant lie. They do not believe that Jesus is true. They reject him. They do not believe he teaches the way of God in truth. They believe that he is a false prophet. At one point, they even say that it is by the prince of demons that he is able to cast out demons. As for not regarding the person of men, well, they may actually believe that, because he doesn't give the Pharisees the special treatment that they think they have coming. They believe it, but it's a complaint, not a compliment. Thus Jesus responds by saying, "Why do you test me, you hypocrites?" Anyway, they ask if it is right to pay taxes to Caesar or not. They don't really care about the answer. They don't really care what Jesus thinks. But if he says, no, it is not right, they can have him thrown in prison for inciting insurrection. If he says to pay them, everyone will think that he's gone soft and is supporting collaboration with those hated Roman occupiers. They figure it's a win one way or another. So they ask, do we pay taxes to Caesar or not? When we ask questions about paying taxes, when we do it, it often hides behind a mask of moral indignation. Pastor, do you know what kinds of wars and what kinds of clinics or giveaway programs or tent cities for separating children from their parents with illegal aliens or whatever we decide is evil that the tax money goes to, and then claim faithfulness to God as our motive for not paying taxes? I wonder sometimes if that's not mostly window dressing on a much crasser motive of just wanting to have the money in our own pockets. But it's not our place to armchair quarterback our government. The same thing is true of the church, by the way. If you can no longer in good conscience be part of that church, go join one that you can. But don't come to a voters' meeting and say, you're going to cut your giving by 25% unless you get your way on some issue that's being voted on. That's ungodly and manipulatively disrespectful of the will and the thoughts of your brothers and sisters in Christ, your fellow congregation members. When it comes to the government, well, you can't really manipulate the government that way. So we're back to the keep the money motive. And yes, there is probably some sincerity in your moral objection to whatever as well. But God has not made any of us a senator or the president. So it is our obligation to respect the people that he has placed in those positions. Today, the first Sunday in November, is the day we have often celebrated All Saints Sunday. And as I mentioned before the service, that accounts for several of our hymns this morning as well as the additional collect. And it seems like remembering the faithful departed and the question of whether or not we should pay taxes are completely unrelated topics. But they are not. Remember that for the faithful, this life will give way to the life of the world to come. And so conduct all of your limited days in this world in a way that reflects your confidence in the life of the world to come. Who wins this coming Tuesday, and subsequently how much you have to pay taxes and what that tax money will go to, these are small matters for the redeemed of the Lord, at least in comparison to matters of our salvation. Too many Americans, as they have strayed from the faith, have turned politics into their substitute religion, and they prosecute it with religious zeal. Be not like unto them. Our citizenship is in heaven. Getting back to our text, the Pharisees' question presupposes that you are being disloyal to God if you give money to a pagan ruler. The Pharisees look like they are doing a good job of keeping God and government separate, but actually they are tying them too closely together. What they are saying is, in short, if you are paying taxes to Caesar, you are supporting Caesar's religion. If you support God, you will give money only to a government of the true religion. Government and religion are not to be separated. Now, Jesus, Which one are we going to support? Jesus calls the Pharisees hypocrites, and then he proves it. He asks them to show him a coin. They probably all had some coins with them. He asked them whose image is on the coin, or whose portrait. The word portrait is a little weak. The word is icon, icon, image. As in, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Under Caesar Tiberius, the inscription Divus et Pontifex Maximus was put on the coins. It means roughly God and Supreme Pontiff. Caesar was claiming to be a god himself. And all of these holier-than-thou Pharisees had these, what they considered, blasphemous little round graven images in their pockets. Now they want to know if it's a sin to give Caesar any of Caesar's coins that, by the logic of their own thinking, they shouldn't have even had with them. In any case, there the question stands. Either the government or God. Which one are we going to support? Jesus answers, basically, by saying both. We give both what belongs to the government, to the government, and what belongs to God, to God. Beginning then with the government, what belongs to it? Well, their money. And it is theirs in a this-worldly sense. Every coin and every dollar bill printed in this country has the words United States of America on it somewhere. We cannot deny that it is the American government's money. The government has every right to insist that we pay them some of it. There are benefits to having a government. It's only fair that we pay for those benefits. That money also has the words, "In God we trust," written on it. Be careful. In which God does our government claim to be trusting? The Christian God? Oh, no. Our Constitution specifically refuses to allow the establishment of a religion. And not all of the people who wrote that Constitution were Christians in any meaningful sense. The God mentioned on our money is a sort of generic whatever God is out there God. The American cultural God and the true living triune God are not the same. Does that mean that we are supporting a false God when we pay taxes? No. The Lord says we are to give to Caesar what is Caesar's. That doesn't mean we buy into Caesar's religion or this sort of generic deism of America either. It just means that being a good citizen is part of what God asks of us as faithful Christians. Further, the fact that we don't want to confuse our loyalty to our country with our faith in God does not mean that we can't be patriotic. Just don't confuse American patriotism with your faith in Christ as though it were all the same thing. They are separate things. Now comes the second part of our Lord's answer. Give to God what belongs to God. What do we give to God? The economy of the society in which it has pleased God to place us is based on money. That means that the church needs money to do the work of the Lord. Everything from providing for a pastor so he doesn't have to pursue secular employment, to paying a secretary, to maintaining our facility, and in a way that that facility itself confesses Christ and our devotion to Him. It shouldn't be the shabbiest building in town. Money supports mission work, a seminary for future pastors, the labors of our bishop to maintain the unity and faithful labors of the pastors in our diocesan congregations, and also to support one or more of those pastors directly when their congregations are so small that they cannot. In short, we use money to confess Christ, to confess our faith in Him, to show the world how important He is to us, and also then to support fellow confessional Lutheran Christians. The point is that we as Christians are committed to seeing that the work of the Lord gets done, and in our day and age it takes money to do it. Further, the Lord asks us to give to His church not for His benefit, but for ours. The Lord entrusts us with this. It is a spiritual exercise of faith, something God gives us to do for our own good. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your heart be with the Lord and with the eternal inheritance that awaits us, an inheritance which the faithful departed already enjoy. The things we talk about, as though they were ours, those things are really God's, and we should not forget that. God has put us in charge of some of the things of this world. That's all. And that goes not only for your money, but for your time, for your gifts and abilities, even for your very self. All of it is God's. For you were both created by Him and purchased by Him redemptively with the blood of Christ Jesus. As it is written, you are not your own. You were bought at a price. Dear ones in Christ, that's really where it has to begin and to end. The forgiveness of sins and everlasting life are yours on account of Christ's holy life, His sacrificial atoning death that paid the price that you owed on account of your sins, and then also His glorious resurrection. That salvation that we have is a tremendous gift. We cannot be perfect managers of the things God has given us. We spend too much on one thing and not enough on others. We set a bad example for our children. We speak words that the mouths of God's saints should never utter. As we reviewed last week, Martin Luther's first of his 95 theses that he nailed on the church door, when our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said, "Repent," he intended that the entire life of the believer should be one of repentance. And so it must be. But we live under grace. We are forgiven. And that is the bottom line. As believers, the Lord in His Word speaks to us as those who, of course, want to be faithful to Him. He loves us. And His gift of salvation is exactly that, a free gift, And because we are recipients of that gift, we love Him. What He has done for us is ours, and it is going to stay ours as we remain repentant believers in Christ. He's not going to take His free gift of salvation away from us if we don't handle the things He has given us in exactly the best way. So this isn't about have-tos or else you won't make the cut. As Christ has entrusted you with rendering unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and rendering unto God what is God's, so grant you from the heart sincerely to desire to do this, faithfully, both paying taxes and giving offerings to the glory of Him whose blood has paid the full debt of sin that we owed and given us eternal life in heaven, even Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.